It wasn't the most delicious. It wasn't. It's just not my favorite thing to eat.
Do I really want to sit at a dinner for 2 hours?
I don't know what we were thinking.
We're just a little picky.
Hey y'all, it's LJ here, owner and founder of Smart Moms Plan Disney and Smart Moms Travel. We are so glad you're here for another episode of the Smart Moms Plan Disney podcast. Now, here's your host, Allie.
Welcome to another episode of the Smart Moms Plan Disney podcast. I am your host, Allie. I'm so glad to have you with me today, ladies. We always have so much fun together. What's up?
Let's talk Disney cruising. Could there be anything more exciting?
No, I am so excited. Listeners have asked and we have answered. It took us a little while to get here, but it is officially Disney Cruise Line Day. You've both sailed with Disney Cruise Line, yeah?
Yes, I have.
Multiple times, and there is nothing that competes.
Is there anything better than Disney Cruise Line?
Gosh, maybe just Disney World.
Yeah, I mean, that's a hard choice, but I definitely think Disney Cruise Line is the perfect balance of like you and your partner's time, family time, Disney. It's kind of that perfect mixture of all those great things.
I took my family on their first Disney cruise. My kids were 4 and 7 at the time. They had not had birthdays yet. This is going to sound so crazy, but I don't think I'm exaggerating when I say it was the best week of my family's life together. Like, we have never been so at peace, so stress-free, carefree, happy, content, entertained, well cared for. You know, not one of us anywhere to be, anything to do, anyone to talk to but each other. I mean, it was the most, we did a 4-night on the Wish. It was a maritime sailing and it was the greatest experience to, you know, we're addicted to Disney cruising now.
I think that Disney cruising in general is great to unplug, right? Any cruising is going to force you to unplug, which is going to let you connect to your people. But there's a different level of magic on a Disney cruise. And it comes with a price tag. Obviously, that's something that's going to be a part of our conversation today. And a lot of people ask about that. Is it worth the money? But good gracious, is it not just the most relaxing vacation type of vacation you could possibly take?
Well, and Carla, you mentioned it's a great balance. And that is what it is to me. In the span of the 5 days that I was on the ship with my family, we found ourselves, we were also with friends. It's a great vacation to take with a group or friends, which we're going to dive into as well. But we found ourselves, you know, at adult trivia night and at the newlywed game, you know, while our kids were entertained elsewhere. So we had that private time, just us. We got massages on board, you know, but then there was so much time where we were all together playing games, enjoying the pool deck, having unlimited soft serve ice cream, which that banana soft serve, I still dream about it. I don't even like bananas. I'm one of those people that like loves the flavor. I don't like bananas themselves, but I had a banana soft serve cone probably twice a day.
Oh my gosh, twice a day? I think my kids were hitting that up like, I don't know, 6-8 times a day.
Yeah. Your kids are older than mine.
Correct. So we took our first Disney cruise last year in November. It actually landed right on my birthday. We did the Very Maritime cruise out of Miami, and we did also a 4-night. And I'll be honest, I'm not the biggest cruiser. I've done a couple of non-Disney cruises. This was our first Disney cruise. I have done an 8-day, which was way too long. I've done a 3-day, which was almost too short. So I think this 4, maybe a 5-night cruise is kind of my sweet spot personally. But it was just an amazing time. Like you did, Allie, we also went with friends. We went with 2 other groups of couples and their children, and we all had our own spaces. The kids all were able to go into the kids club, which we'll I'm sure get dive more into. But the kids had their own fun. The adults had our own fun. We had fun together on port, at dinners, in the mornings. We tended to do breakfast together. But almost immediately after breakfast, the kids wanted to go their separate ways. So my kids are 11 and 12. And I had one kid in the younger kids club. And then my son Liam got to go to like the tween early teen club. And he had a blast. The kids want to go and they want their freedom to do their thing. And of course, that gives the adults the ability to just enjoy each other's company and to sit out on the balcony or sit by the pool or, like you said, go enjoy some of those activities on board. I don't know. I loved it. I loved the Disney cruise way more than any other cruise I've taken. If I ever cruise again, it will certainly be on a Disney ship.
Yeah, my family has two Disney ships booked right now. We have two that we're planning to take, and there will be more because we loved it that much. This is funny. Can you imagine any other vacation destination you could take with a really, really large group of people and everybody still be doing the same or similar things but different and still be together?
No, there's nothing like cruising for it's the perfect amount of go out and do your own thing, but then meet back together for a formal dinner where you can bond together and make the memories. And these aren't just basic dinners, right? Which there's so much to be said about Disney Cruise Line dining, but I think that it's the perfect amount of together, but separate, just like Carla was saying. And so my family, I'm probably the odd one in this group because I am an avid cruiser. We've done probably 20 cruises and have done them across all cruise lines. And there's just nothing holds a candle to what Disney does. Disney just does it different.
Yeah, that's exactly it. We are one of our sailings that we have booked, we're taking with a group of, I believe we're up to like 36 people.
Hey. Wow.
It's massive. We have so many staterooms and I'm not even a little bit worried about any part of that many people being together. Normally you'd be stressed about itineraries and, you know, if we're going to the parks, which park do we want to go to make everybody happy? And is this group of people going to Magic Kingdom while this group goes to Epcot? And with the cruise, I'm not worried about it. We're going to run into each other at breakfast, maybe at the buffet. We'll hit the pool together. Maybe some of us will do the same excursions. Maybe we won't. And we're going to be able to vacation together without stress. That's what the Disney cruises to me. It's vacation without stress because we talk about it on this show all the time. Moms don't take vacation. They mm-hmm. just live in another city and it's harder that way. You know, it's harder to run my kids' normal routine while staying in a Disney resort. Do I love it? Of course. Will I always do it? Of course. Do I enjoy knowing that my kids are going to be fed without me having to think about it or do any work? My kids are going to have activities and they don't have to match each other without me having to do thinking or work. Yeah, that's what I value in the cruise.
I think that can't be really overstated. Like, think about when you're at Disney, right? Some people want to do a sit down every day. Some people are like, just give me the chicken tendies and we're good. And on a Disney cruise, you can do that. The kids can have their mac and cheese and their chicken nuggets and their ice cream. And the parents can go sit down and have a formal meal with or without the kids. And it's just like the perfect blending. And I guess that's the piece that I love is that we've done a Disney cruise with our kids when they were little. And then we've also done a Disney cruise. Me and Macy went on a mommy me, like just me and my teenage daughter went, which I think that gets overlooked a lot with Disney cruises is it just for little kids? Absolutely not.
Absolutely not is the right answer. People ask that all the time. I also get asked all the time, is it still magical? The answer is yes. Somehow Disney has their way and they capture the magic. They put it on a ship and you sail around with it for however long you're on there. You know, they have the fireworks at sea, only cruise line that has fireworks at sea, which if you are a listener of this show or a friend of mine, you know how much fireworks mean to me. So having those on your pirate night is when the show is always so, so excellent. It just feels all of the magic with the mix of, we just keep saying it, the relaxation, right? One day we were walking along one of the hallways interior on the ship, just heading from point A to point B. And when we rounded the corner, Rapunzel was skipping. Not toward us, sort of away from us, but it was an empty hallway. There she was skipping. And my oldest daughter yelled, "There's Rapunzel." And she turned around because she heard her name, saw my kids, let out a little giggle, and then ran and hid around a corner. And my kids went running after her. She popped out. They played a little like hide and seek game. It was insanely magical. It was way more magical than any character interaction they've had in the parks.
That seriously sounds like a dream come true. Like, are you sure you weren't dreaming in that moment?
I think that that's part of the Disney magic. So everywhere you look, there are characters. These shows, can we just discuss the shows, the nightly shows, and how amazing they are? We got to see Beauty and the Beast. And I don't know, that was just, I mean, it was Broadway level. I feel like I should have paid hundreds of dollars to be sitting in that theater that night. My kids were in awe. Even my husband had tears in his eyes.
You kind of did pay hundreds of dollars to sit in that theater.
I mean, we did, but you know, that, and that's another thing, you know, you talked about the ability to, you know, be able to go and get food all day long and not having to shell out extra. So you're paying that one price up front, right? And that price includes pretty much everything, everything that you need anyways. Obviously, alcohol is going to be extra, and some of us do need alcohol.
Save it for grumpy, girl. Save it for grumpy.
But, you know, the ability, if your kids want to go and eat 8 ice creams and you're okay with it like I was, the fact that I don't have to shell out $6-7 each time they want a chicken tender, I don't have to shell out that additional money. That ease of like not continually having to pay for everything during your vacation like you would for, say, we're at Walt Disney World or at Disneyland. I don't know. It just makes it that much more relaxing. And I don't know, I love that part about it.
Yeah, you do not need money on board. That, you don't need it. You have a Payfolio, and you're going to upload your payment information at check-in when you check in for your cruise. It's a whole process of things you register for and set up before you even get to the port. And once you're there, you're basically just charging to your Payfolio. It's super easy, but you don't really need to charge anything. You know, like you were saying, most things are included. I'm just talking, like you said, alcohol, maybe souvenirs, things like that. But for the most part, you don't need it. Your kids can be wherever they want to be and they don't need it.
Comparing to another cruise line, I know every time we get on a cruise ship, the first thing we do is buy the soda package because we're soda drinkers, and I wish I wasn't, but that's the case that it is. And on Disney, you don't have to automatically add that to your tip because soda's included. And Disney's like the only one that has that.
It's, yeah. And that I don't think a lot of people realize. I don't think people realize that like soda being included in your cost is a big deal. And those shows, Carly, you said you saw Beauty and the Beast. We saw The Little Mermaid and Aladdin. And I am a dance teacher in a dance studio. I can be very critical of live performance, although I try to just be supportive. Of course, I'm always looking at it from a performer standpoint in both ways. And I was floored. These shows were spectacular. I cannot, the singing, dancing, acting, comedy, wit, it was just unbelievable.
And they do this at sea. Like, do you ever wonder how are they creating these kind of productions on this ship that, you know, there's not like extra storages following behind the ship? Like, where are these things coming from? It's remarkable.
Yeah, it really is. And the cast members and performers have roles throughout the ship, right? So you get off at Castaway Key, you meet Jack Sparrow, you know, you have these character run-ins everywhere. So when people are wondering, is there magic? Am I still going to feel Disney? Is it worth it? Yes, 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 yes. 1,000 times, yes.
Amen.
The other thing is Disney has built in a system of Castaway Club levels, basically. So the more you sail, the more perks you get. Everybody can obviously pre-book excursions and things, but the more you sail, the more you get. So they have that silver, gold, platinum, and now they've introduced the new level for the silver anniversary, that pearl level, which is 25 sailings or more. And it might take me a lifetime to get there, but I'm going to get there. It's totally a bucket list for me now to be a pearl level sailor for Disney Cruise Line.
Oh, man. And it doesn't take, it's not like other cruise lines in that. I know like Carnival, we've sailed Carnival quite a lot and you can have a good time, but the level's not the same. So our second time getting onto a Disney cruise, we checked into our room and we had like a Castaway club member backpack there for us and a water bottle there for us. And when I get on Carnival, and I've been on probably 5 or 6 Carnival cruises, I have like a bottle of water.
Yeah. So we are obviously going to dive deeper into what makes Disney cruising maybe the best vacation you can possibly take. Mm-hmm. Certainly, maybe in my opinion, it rivals Disney World, of course, but we're going to dive deep into the reasons why after this quick break. Hey, Smart Moms Plan Disney podcast listeners. Have you joined our online communities yet? You can find us on Facebook and on Instagram at Smart Moms Plan Disney Podcast, where we're connecting daily with listeners, answering questions, and sharing our favorite Disney memories. Joining one of our communities, especially on Facebook, is like pulling up your own chair and joining the conversation yourself. Why let Tuesday be the only day you hear from us? Come join us to continue episode conversations or maybe even tell us if you disagree with something we've said. We're planning trips, offering tips, and ready for you to pull up your chair. So follow the links in our show notes and join us at Smart Moms Plan Disney Podcast on Facebook and on Instagram. Welcome back, everyone. Carla, Becca, and I talking Disney cruising today. We are going to start now with the sevens, starting once again, as we do so often with Happy, and continuing this conversation about the things on board and in preparation for a Disney cruise that just make us super happy. I want to start with talking about Castaway Cay. That is Disney's private island. That is the destination that not every Disney cruise sailing is going to go to. So if you're not porting out of Florida, you really want to look at your itinerary because you might not be going to Castaway Cay. I believe some Texas sailings do. But if you're New York or California and certainly any international port, you're probably not going to Disney's private island. But every sailing out of Fort Lauderdale, Miami, Port Canaveral will pretty much go to Castaway Cay. That vacation day is so extraordinary. First of all, everything there in terms of food is included, just like on the ship. So they have a massive lunch buffet barbecue. It's delicious. Of course, they have the unlimited soft serve. Carla's kids probably had only that for lunch. I definitely had banana. They do have a bar on the island. Of course, you pay extra for that, which is fine. I still did it. And I had a coconut cup and it was awesome. But there are 3 or 4 sections of the island. You kind of have a little shopping area, a little beach hut shops, which is always really fun, obviously. A Mickey photo op. A lot of the characters are lining the paths. There are there. I mentioned Jack Sparrow's there. We also saw Donald, Daisy, Mickey. There is a beach area with lots of chairs where the snorkeling reef is. And I want to talk a little bit about that. There is the area with the water slides into the ocean, which are so fast and so fun. And there's the adult only beach area, along with the Scuttle Cove, I believe is what it's called, for the kids club on the beach.
You were talking about those water slides. Like, they're every single piece of the island is different, but equally amazing. What we did, I think, was, I don't know, it was like perfect. We were among the first to get off of the ship. And we had the island basically to ourselves. We got to pull our chairs right up to the front of the water, have our feet in the water. The water was warm. We swam out, like you were talking about, the water slides, right, that dump into the water. Mm-hmm. We went down it, all 5 of us. So it's me and Sean and our 3 kids. And at this time, Laker was probably 3 at the time. And he went down the water slide. And it is so fast. I don't know what makes it so fast, but
it's
so
hysterical.
Fast, so fun.
And
we splashed down into the water, and we had just checked out of a Disney World hotel where we also did water slides. And it caught me off guard because I had never taken a slide into salt water. And so it just kind of like, oh, I just took a slide into the ocean.
It really is a weird sensation. It's almost like I'm not supposed to be in the middle of the ocean and going down this water slide, but here I am. Yes. It's so fun. It's they come out of this splash pad area, and my twins, who were 3 at the time, both went down them. So, or I'm sorry, 4. They were 4. They're fine and safe for all ages. You know, you strap a life jacket on and go. Mm-hmm. We raced down them, and one is shorter, so that one's always going to be the winner. But they're hilarious. We were just standing. There's like a little bridge you can stand on and watch, and we were watching each other go down just time after time after time. It was hilarious, just rocketing out of these slides. So fun.
How soon did you get off of the ship, Allie, when you were on that, on when you went over there?
That's a good question. So we're normally the people that will definitely, especially on a cruise, sleep in, pace ourselves, take our time. We don't even get off the ship at every port. With Castaway, we are up and at them because why not? If you're tired, take a nap on the beach, which I did. You know, but don't miss your chance to get a prime seat, which is a good dock strategy as well. It, you know, get out there and don't waste your day because you're only out there really until I think it's four is back on ship, you know, so it's not even really a full day. So we don't like to waste any of it. Carla, what about you? You had quite a day on Castaway, if you can remember.
I don't remember much. I do, however, remember how beautiful it was. I do remember not having nearly enough time. This is like the top of the top when it comes to ports. You know, you can take me to the Bahamas. You can take me to the Caymans. Nothing compares to what you're going to experience on Castaway Cay. We personally parked ourselves on some beach chairs, but we also got to experience the snorkeling. So basically, everybody needs a life jacket, number one. So that's important to know. They provide them. You cannot get in the water. It doesn't matter if you're Michael Phelps. You're not getting in the water unless you have a life jacket on.
And it's a very specific type of life jacket for this experience.
Correct. And we personally brought our own snorkeling equipment just because that's what the kind of people we are. But you can rent it. It's not that much money. But anyway, so you walk out on this beach and you just start swimming along this path and there's sunken, I'm not going to say who they are, but there's little sunken treasures that you get to swim past and there's fish and it's super safe. You feel, you know, you feel safe. It's very cool experience. It's free. So again, you have the ability to have all this fun and it's all included, right? We also experienced the slides. Just a great overall time. Again, I would, like you did, Allie, we almost didn't get out there early enough because I just didn't realize how much fun we were going to have out there. Quite frankly, you know, all those videos that have you guys ever seen the videos of like the people running to catch the boat?
Yeah, that was almost us.
Yep.
I think we're going to be in the next promo.
But like next time I go, I kind of want to miss the boat and I want to be stuck on Castaway Cay because like, what is there to lose? Like, do you know what I mean? I want to live out there.
We were almost the first people. We were among the first off the ship. We were definitely down getting, you know, off the boat and not a whole lot of people were there with us. And we were by far among the last 20 to get on the ship. I mean, we were looking at our clock like, you guys, we have to go. We just could not bring ourselves to walk away.
So did you guys take the shuttle to the beach or did you walk?
We took the shuttle to the beach and walked back.
Yeah, we took the little tram. I'm going to call them a tram. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah.
Yes, the tram.
Yeah, we took the tram there and back.
So you were talking about the snorkeling. That was probably the most fun I had on the cruise, which is saying a lot because, well, it's saying a lot for a lot of reasons. Number one, because everything was so fun. And number two, because I don't really like swimming. I like being by the pool with my kids. I don't love getting totally wet. My hair is really thick. It takes forever to dry. My parents were with us, so they kept the kids up on the shore and my wife and I went really far because the bulk of the snorkeling experience is really far out and my kids could have gone with us, but we only had two snorkel sets. So we were kind of taking turns. And this is sort of funny. I'm glad you didn't spoiler alert what the sunken treasures are. They are very, very, very cool. And I don't want to spoil it because they're fun to discover if you've never done it before. But don't be like us because we didn't realize that they were marked with buoys in the water. And so we were just swimming all over. We're really far out at this point. And I'm like, I can't find anything. And then I realize, oh, my gosh, everything that's sunken is marked with a buoy. And we just exerted so much energy. But we had so much fun looking for those. It was fantastic. So cannot say enough about Castaway. And Disney has a new island, Lighthouse Point, that they're going to open. I can't even imagine how they're going to top it, but I know they will. You know, the first island in 20 plus years. This is going to be amazing. I am already booked on a sailing that will go to Lighthouse Point. So I'm really, really, really excited to get somewhere new and experience it and be among the first.
Oh, not jealous at all or completely jealous. And how are we not all booked on this cruise with you? Like,
yeah, I have no idea. How is anybody not already booked to go to Lighthouse Point? So the other thing that I think is really cool is Disney has five different ships. A lot of them have really similar offerings. There is a similar vibe and theme on all of the ships, but there are also super unique things. I have clients when I'm working as a travel agent that ask me all the time, well, which ship is the best? Well, that's an unanswerable question, right? Because they're all so different and they're all so wonderful. You know, this is Disney. There are no ships that feel old and outdated. You know, they're all magical. Like on the Dream and the Fantasy, they have Goofy sports decks. They have little putt-putt and sporting activities, where on the Wish, they don't have that. But on the Wish, they have a slide into the Oceaneers Club from the entryway down, you know, a deck or two. And the kids go down it. And on the open house, on the day you get on the ship, adults can go down it. So my wife and I went down and got to explore the kids club. So fun. And there are splash pads for little ones. It's important to keep in mind that, like with any cruise line, kiddos that are not potty trained, they can't go in the pool. Swim diapers aren't allowed for obvious reasons. And so they're going to be using those splash pads. And some of the ships have Nemo themed ones and some of them have Toy Story themed one. And that's super fun. I know on the Wish, when we were there in December, they had a Toy Story splash pad along with a slide, a little kid slide. So my twins were not tall enough for the Aqua Mouse, which is the interactive slide coaster that they have on the Wish. They have the Aqua Duck on some of the other ships. But my twins were able to go down the Toy Story slide. And that was a great, great addition to their experience, you know, because they weren't big enough for the big one.
I think a lot of people misunderstand that piece of the swim diaper thing. Like, I'm not going to take my littles because they're not potty trained and they're not going to get to swim. And why would you want to do that? Well, the swimming pools are more meant for like bigger kids, where those splash pads, like, good gracious, as an adult, I'm like, I want to go in the splash pad.
Yeah. And there's so much more. Cute. Yeah. There's so much more going on that it's okay. You
it
know,
100% okay.
The Small World nursery that the ships have on board, it's not included. It does cost extra and you do have to have a reservation to go. I believe the reservations are a minimum of an hour. But for kids that are under three that are going to be that more not potty trained age range, they can go to Small World Nursery. There's nothing wrong with it. It's amazing. They can nap there or play there. And it's an awesome way for you to bring your baby, but also still get to experience everything you want to.
Totally. Book that baby at that nursery and go have a good time. Like, you literally haven't slept for 1 to 3 years.
Yeah.
At least.
Go put the baby in the nursery and go sleep if you want to sleep. Go sleep by the pool. Go do whatever you want to do.
Yeah.
That's what it's like. This is your time. So your baby is just going to be in there having a blast.
They don't know any different. You know, are you kidding?
Being cared for. They don't care.
They're in Andy's room.
Take this time with your spouse or whoever you're with and go enjoy it and go relax.
100%. So Small World Nursery costs extra, but Oceaneers for 3 to 12 year olds does not cost extra. It is, you won't even be able to get your kids to leave Oceaneers. I mean, it's a club with, there are different theming on different ships for Oceaneers. Some have Star Wars areas, Avengers areas, art rooms, craft rooms, reading nooks, Imagineer stations where you could build roller. I mean, it's endless.
Not only that, but they do activities with the kids in there. They play games. Your kids are totally safe. They cannot be picked up by anybody but one of the parents or a designated person. And then you have the older kids clubs. Like I mentioned, my son was 11 when we cruised, but he technically could go to the next level, which I want to say was 12 to 14. So these are your, like I mentioned, preteens or young teenagers, early teen years. And they actually have the ability, and my son thought he was so cool, they have the ability to check themselves in and out. So like if they want to go and grab a soft serve, they can leave and go do that. If they want to go down to the pool, they can leave and do that. If they want to go back to the room, they can do that. And you as your parent have to know that and be okay with it. But I'm telling you what, my son was living his best life in that club up there. They do this. I don't think all the ships do it, but they have like these scavenger hunts around the ship. So they kind of like pair up with a team or another individual and you go around and you play these like interactive games and you have to find things. And I'm telling you what, like we were in the adults area, like going, you know, to a couple of the activities. And we were at this one elevator, which was the only elevator that would take you up to the particular place we were going, but also to where the older kids club was. And we like caught my son with this cute little girl, like roaming the halls, and we were giving him such like, we were teasing him because we've never seen like that side. My kids grew up with like the kids that we were on board with. My son has always been surrounded by like all the little girls in the neighborhood because that's all that's in our neighborhood. So like when he got to be with kids his own age, but also like there was cute little girls on ship, like he was living it. I'm telling you what, guys, in these relationships that they make on the ship. Okay, get this. So on the way home, he called his buddy, and my son's like, he's kind of like a little dorky, whatever. He's a little, you know, he's an 11, 12 year old boy, right? He called his little buddy on the way home, and he's like, you're not going to believe this. And the dude was like, what? He's like, bro, I was actually cool, and I was actually the popular kid. And I looked at my husband, and I was like, oh my gosh.
We're going because on every Disney cruise like, from now on.
I know. I can't wait to go on another one just so Liam can live his best life ship again. And these kids, the like I was saying, they all have this group text. There's 64 of them. I mean, to me as an adult, that gives me anxiety. Just could you imagine like 64 people on a group text, especially if they're your family members, all these kids that continue to have these conversations 6 to 8 months later. It's just like crazy to me.
I think it comes down to the cast members that they put into these kids clubs and these preteen and teen clubs, because really they make friends on these ships and they're not just like one and done. It's like real relationships.
Some of the things that my kids did in Oceaneers, because my kids are not old enough to get into some of these older kid places, but in Oceaneers, they did a treasure hunt with Captain Hook. Mm. They built some sort of Star Wars something with Chewie. They decorated cupcakes with Tiana, and they read stories with Belle, I believe. So, and I think Chip and Dale were playing Red Light, Green Light with them one day. I mean, endless. Just they're down there with the princesses. They're just hanging out with the characters. One of the Avengers came down and was hanging out with my son. You know, they couldn't get enough of it. I also will challenge anyone. A lot of people get nervous about leaving their kiddos. And Carla, you mentioned how safe it was. And it truly is. The navigation app that acts as your communication while you're on board. They were so good. You know, my son, I would get messages about my son all the time. He wants to be picked up. And then I would go, and it turned out he did not want anything to do with me. He just wanted to give me a hug, and then he would run away. And so I was getting alerts just to go give him a hug and then leave, which I was fine with, you know. But you're well able to stay in communication. They're not releasing kids without code words and photos. So it's super secure. I had no issue leaving my kids there at all.
Nope, not even just to mention how much space they get as kids. Like, I feel like when I've been on other cruise lines and I take my kids to the kids club, yes, they still can have fun, but I sometimes feel like I'm just like shoving them in a closet to play hide and go seek with the other kids. Like on Disney, there are so many different rooms for them to be in. It's mind blowing.
Oh yeah, it's a huge portion of the deck. That all makes me super happy. Another thing, Carla, I think you love this, and this is super unique. And obviously, we're spending a lot of time on happy today, but I think it's necessary with Disney Cruise Line because it's such a happy time. Carla, the fish extenders, did you talk about what it is? Did you do it?
Okay, so I actually think this was my dock strategy. So if we can transition into dock, one of the things that makes Disney really stand out, and I don't think they do this on, I know that the fish extender is for sure a Disney thing, but also the door decorations, your door magnets, it's a whole thing on Disney. So as you're walking down the hall, people decorate their doors and it's like the norm. So if you don't have a decorated door, you're going to lose out like on this little extra special bit of magic that you're providing to everybody else on your hall, right? So this dock strategy is really like looking into these things and getting equipped for like when you're on ship to have your door decorated. Number one, there's this thing also called the fish extenders. Every room has a room number and it's on this little fish that hangs next to your door. Actually, I don't know if the room number physically is on the on the fish, is it, guys? Do you know?
No, it's on the door, at least on the ships that I've been on, but the fish is still
the
there.
The fish, yeah. So the fish is like a, let's say, a rope hook type thing. It's basically a way for the ship to communicate with you if they, you know, have a menu or something, anything of that type of communication, then they're going to hang it on your little fish extender, right? So people have taken this a step further with these fish extenders, which essentially are these like little pockets, and people will drop gifts in them overnight for your kids.
It's like cruising pixie dust.
Correct. Yeah. You're pixie dusting your kids, other people's kids. Essentially what you're going to do, and this is super important, is that you're going to Facebook search your ship and your cruise date. So if I'm going to sail on the Wish July 24th to 28th, that's what I'm going to put in my search. And I'm going to find like everybody else that's sailing on my ship. And then there are people in those groups that basically start this fish extender, and you can sign up for it and you can get assigned, you know, other people, another room. It'll tell you the names of the kids, their ages, etc. But it's just a super cool way to pixie dust your children and on somebody else's dime, essentially.
Yeah, it's so Disney. It's so Disney, I can't even take it.
It is so Disney. So when we went for our merry time, we did little stockings. So instead of, and I'm telling you what, guys, this fish extender is like an actual legit Etsy business. So are the door magnets. Like, you will pay like $200 for some door magnets to decorate your doors. It's crazy. So
and do these, it happily, right?
Yeah, exactly. So these fish extenders, think of them as like giant, like tooth fairy pillows, right? So they're like these little pockets and you just stuff stuff in them. So we went on the Maritime cruise. We did personally the Christmas stockings hanging on our doors. And I'm telling you what, every morning my kids had something in their stockings, which was super cute. But also total random strangers would drop little notes about how cute our door was decorated, or little stickers or pins. I mean, it's just kind of endless magic that happens on the ships.
It's so fun. And they have the little ducks. People hide little rubber duckies everywhere. That's it. All my kids found one. And that's so fun, too.
I think that tip about getting on a Facebook group or a cruise critic board kind of idea and finding the roll calls for your ships and connecting to people before you're on the ship is really a smart doc strategy. I love that, Carla.
Yeah, I'm a year out from one of my sailings, and I'm already in the Facebook group talking and connecting with people I'm going to sail with in a year, you know, and so that's what, and that, you know, what goes into my dock strategy, which is book early. Disney cruise pricing changes. It doesn't stay the same, and it's never cheaper than the day you start looking. The day you start pricing your cruise, it's the cheapest it's going to be, because the closer you get to sailing, the more the staterooms fill up, the higher that price goes. It does change. I see it change all the time. I personally waited to book one for myself, and I saw it go up a few hundred dollars, you know, and that was silly because I was already going to, I knew I was going to go. I shouldn't have waited. So booking early is a huge dock tip, especially because the deposit is higher than a Disney World package. Disney World package is a flat $200 no matter what. A cruise deposit is a higher percentage of your total cruise package, but it's still refundable. You know, and so even booking 18 months out or however far out you're looking, you're not even that locked in and committed, but you are locked in at the lowest rate you can possibly get. So I think that's really great, you know, and I stress that to people all the time. I try to stress it to myself. Book far out, plan in advance. That's the best thing you can possibly do for your sailing. And you get first pick of stateroom. If you are prone to motion sickness, the best place, in my opinion, to sail is going to be high deck midship. Those rooms are going to go a little quicker. So to get prime pick of your location, where you want to be, do you want to be far from an elevator to avoid that potential noise and traffic? Those are things you want to consider when you're planning your cruise. And if you plan closer, those are the rooms that are going to be gone first. And the other thing is to think about those themed sailings. So Carla, you and I have been talking about the Very Maritime cruises that we both went on recently, but there are ships that also do Marvel Day at Sea. So if you have a Marvel lover, Pixar Day at Sea, which is so fun. Those are happening on 7-day sailings on the Fantasy. And when I say it's Pixar Day, I mean Pixar characters everywhere, Pixar themed events going on, Pixar character meal. I mean, so, so fun. There's the Halloween on the High Seas. Very Merry. And then currently Disney is doing Silver Anniversary at Sea. So it's Disney's Silver Anniversary of the Disney Cruise Line. And they're doing these really special themed Silver Anniversary sailings. And there's actually two firework shows on those.
Have you guys ever noticed when you were at the firework show, maybe you haven't noticed because you're on the ship, but other cruise lines will pull up close to the Disney ships to be able to watch the fireworks?
Ooh, I've never seen that.
Next time, see if you notice that the other ships get closer at nighttime on the firework night.
Oh, that's really funny. I am going to look for that. Have you done any themed sailings, Becky?
No, we've only ever just done regular because we are the typical teacher household. And so we end up traveling in the summer, which there's not a lot of the theming ones in the summertime. But we are considering doing a maritime one this winter. However, I really think that the Halloween one would be my favorite.
Yeah, I'm doing Halloween this year. Mm. I'm super excited to see Clarabelle Cow, Minnie, and Daisy dressed as the Sanderson sisters.
Yes. Oh my gosh, so cute.
They do that on the Halloween. I can't wait. Another dock strategy, and I think this is one of the most important. Do not overpack. Oh. Do not overpack. I don't know what we were thinking. We really, really, really overplanned and overpacked. You need nothing on this sailing.
No, you really need like a bathing suit, a cover-up, and you need a pirate outfit. That's another dock strategy I want to make sure we hit on. I don't know if, does every ship guys have pirate night? Like every ship? Because I know that it's affiliated with the Castaway Key Night, right? People go all out for pirate night. And again, like the door situation, you don't want to be the only one like dressed in your nautical attire that's not pirate themed on pirate night, because you're going to look like a ding dong.
My daughter is a cosplayer. And so as a teenage cosplayer, nothing made her happier than to be able to dress up in her pirate cosplay. And even the Disney cast members were like, wow, okay, I see you. It is the best. And you can do, they're going to give you bandanas. Like, they'll help you feel like you can fit in if you don't bring it, but don't miss out on that opportunity. That
your Lily Pulitzer dress will not be matching the bandana that they're going to give you. So don't 100%. Even come into dinner.
And the adults play along. Don't feel silly. Mm-hmm. I mean, the adults get dressed. We were dressed up. We had some. Even my dad wore. Yeah, even my dad wore an eye patch, which was hilarious.
They give you, or at least they gave us, an eye patch and a bandana.
Ooh, we brought our own eye patches. We had custom like Mickey Mouse pirate eye patches that we brought and that we bring with us. We have them. We keep them for every Disney cruise that we do. But yeah, I believe they do provide those. Another thing that you got to keep in mind, and this is going to lead me into my grumpy. This is going to be my strategy. Do y'all have any more strategies?
I was thinking in terms of the pirate night, I feel like Bippity Boppity Boutique is a really, really great thing at Disney World for your daughters. They try to cater some things for boys to fit in there as well. But I feel like if you go to Bippity Boppity Boutique for the pirate night, that is a place for your kiddos, both boys and girls, to just shine in that situation.
They do have a pirate makeover and they notate. You have to make sure you're looking when you're booking on your port excursions and onboard activities day, which is before your sailing and usually after your final payment is made. They'll notate which is which makeover. So you can make sure you get a pirate makeover if that's what you're wanting.
I feel like you would have to be super strategic about it, though, because isn't pirate night always on your castaway night?
Yeah, but I think they notate if it's a pirate makeover, maybe.
That and it would have to happen within like certain hours.
Mm-hmm.
Gotcha. But also using a travel agent who can help you with those kinds of things would be a great tip.
Yeah, because even if they don't notate what kind of makeover it is, your travel agent can help you find out when the pirate night would be. And so you do get it on the right day. So the thing, my last dock strategy that's going to lead me also into my grumpy, Carla is going to heavily relate. First of all, utilize the drink of the day. Okay, there's your dock strategy, because the $5 drink of the day changes every day you're on board. And that's how you're going to save money, because I'm a little grumpy that there's not a drink package on the Disney Cruise Line.
No, there's not. And I get it. It's not Carnival, right? That's one of the perks, right? Like you said, there is a $5 drink of the day. They're fruity. They're delicious. There's also, and I didn't catch this until like day three, which I was super bummed. But you know, you go to the breakfast, and I'm sorry, but the breakfast buffet in the morning is by far my favorite.
So good. So good.
So you go to the breakfast buffet and there is a $5, I don't know what they call it. It's not your $5 drink of the day, but it's like a $5 mimosa or a $5 Bloody Mary. So it's all those like breakfast cocktails. I didn't know it, right?
Yeah, I didn't get any of those. And that breakfast buffet, even without knowing that, was like my favorite. We had fried rice and egg. Like, it was so good. They had so many different offerings. Obviously, they had Mickey waffles. They had churro Mickey waffles one of the days. So those were so, so good. I get it too, Carla. Like you said, I understand why there's not an alcohol package and it's fine. You are able to bring a certain amount on board with you. So that's good. And they provide it plenty. But I do really recommend diving into that drink of the day to save a little money if that's important to you on your sailing. I also think I want to touch a little bit on dining. So I'm 50-50 on the dining on board. I love the breakfast buffet. I loved the lunch buffets. They were delicious. They're so incredible. There was a cantina for street tacos and a pizza place and, you know, a grill out, burgers, dogs, things like that, all day just available. So delicious. So great. The sit-down dinners, the dining rooms themselves, and the experiences, incredible.
Service. Amazing. Amazing. Yes. Agreed.
Service, next level. So for all of that, you can't complain. Was the food the most delicious I'd ever had? It's fine. It wasn't the most delicious. It wasn't the best part of my cruise by far, which is fine too. You know, it was good. Some dishes I had were really good. Some were just okay. Nothing was bad. But you are, in my opinion, those sit downs are about the experience and the theming and the service, maybe a little more than the food.
This surprises me. When we were prepping for this podcast episode, I thought I was going to be the odd one out saying that my grumpy is the dining food, like the food from the sit-down dining rooms each night, because I am more of like a, I guess I have such a variety and can have different flavors all the time when you're at Disney World, that having a steak as my option every night, it felt
maybe a little stuffy, and it maybe wasn't just, maybe at the end of the day, I love the shows at the end of the night, but do I really want to sit at a dinner for 2 hours? Not particularly.
And I love that time with my family. Like, that was a great time for us to get back with my family and friends and talk about maybe if we had separated through the day.
Did you guys have to share a table at your dinners with other families?
No, we did, but only not, because we had such a big group. I think we were a group of like 12 or 13. So we had our own table.
Yeah, a benefit of traveling in a group is that you're going to fill a table, where both times we've done Disney cruises, we have had to sit with other families, which one time was a really good experience and one time was kind of like an awkward experience because we were sharing a table with people who weren't necessarily our same.
Hey guys, don't get us wrong. Like, probably a lot of people would be totally fine with these dinners. And I mean, they're probably a lot better than other cruise ships, right?
I think they definitely, you know, are.
We're just a little picky. admittedly so. I'm a little bit of a prude when it comes to food. I'm kind of a foodie. I love good food. And because of that, we opted, my husband and I and the other adults that we were with, we opted to skip dinner one night. We actually took the kids by the pool. We grabbed them. Like Allie was mentioning, there's always kind of like a pizza place, a burger place. Those are always open. And we took them down for an early dinner. And then we went and we experienced, I think it's called Paolo.
Yeah, Paolo.
It was the Italian restaurant on the Dream that was like five-star service, five-star food. I mean, this was the level of food. For some reason in my head, I thought that they were feeding the gazillions of people in the dining room every night. But admittedly, like,
no, you gotta pay a premium.
Nobody could ever do that. The experience that we had up there and with other adults and no kids, but just like that level of service was phenomenal. Oh, yeah. So everything bad that I have to say about the dining room, you could change that and you can do something different, like one of these private dining adults only experiences. You are going to pay for it, but is it worth it? 100%.
Yeah, that's a great point. We did not do that, but we've talked about on our next, we likely will. And again, the entertainment and the theming in these dining rooms, amazing. Worth it. Totally worth it. It's just not my favorite thing to eat.
Carla, tell me you did not skip Animator's Palette.
I did not skip Animator's Palette, but I'm also lying.
That's like the best dining room on any cruise ship.
It is amazing. And as hard as I want to be on like the fact that our dining our food choices aren't necessarily my favorite, like the entertainment and the fact that your wait staff follows you from one restaurant to the next, and they know what your drink of choice is, and they know those things.
And they know you want 500 cherries in your cherry Coke and all that stuff. Yes, I agree.
Or that you are going to want 3 Mickey bars for dessert.
Yeah. Like, yes, guys. And that's not on the menu. The Mickey bars are not on the menu, but they are always available. So if your kid doesn't want whatever they're serving that night, like, just get them a Mickey ice cream bar and send them back to the kids club.
It's kind of funny that we're making dining our grump. Nothing about a Disney cruise makes me grumpy. Let's just be real. Is the food the best? No. But are the dining rooms and experiences the best you can possibly imagine? Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Definitely.
And I learned that you can order off of things that are not on the menu. Like, I'm like, can I just have a bowl of mac and cheese? And he's like, sure. And he brought me a bowl of mac and cheese.
My mom was living her best life on our cruise. She loves iced tea. That's just a thing about her. And the fact that she would come to the table and there it is waiting for her. She just thought she was celebrity status. She was VIP. Could not believe this is waiting for her when she arrived. Exactly how she wanted it. And speaking about her for a second, the app that you use on board that I had mentioned before, that's also where you can kind of map out your day and see all of the different activities. And she's not super tech savvy at all. Like, the fact that she can work Facebook is a pride point for her. You know, she's very proud of that. But she could navigate that app. She was every morning, Allie, did you see the activities that are going on today? And I think I'm going to go to yoga at this time. And it's just so user-friendly and fun.
Not only that, but you're communicating with your fellow guests. So, like, my son had his phone. He could talk with us through the app. He can let us know if he needed something or if he was going out of the club and going down to the pool or to the buffet, whatever. You can communicate with the other people in your party. So, inevitably, you guys are going to separate at some point. But having this app, and it's not, again, it's not an additional price. You don't have to pay for Wi-Fi to be able to communicate and text with the people in your party. It's just all going to be through this app. That's the Navigators app.
Yeah, you can buy Wi-Fi, but it's not necessary. Let's talk about Sleepy. There's 3 types of staterooms, or 4 really, I guess, if you really want to break it down. You can have interior or ocean view, which is not going to, I think that's a little confusing to some guests. Ocean view is not going to be a veranda or balcony. That's just literally a view through a porthole. Mm-hmm. And then there's going to be the veranda rooms and sailing concierge level. So there are also different sizes. You can get the extended size in the ocean view and the veranda rooms, or you can get the smaller. If you're a family of 5, you have to get the extended. What do you like to sail?
I only do concierge level. No, I'm just joking. I wish. Not there yet. So we did the extended family veranda room, and we're just a family of 4, but we wanted that little bit of extra room. But most importantly, ultimately to us, was being midship, just because I feel like the vibration and movement is a little bit lower there. We were on floor 8, which was really nice to be kind of close to everything. But also, I am all about, and I don't think because I have cruised without, and maybe that's why I didn't like it so much, I have cruised without the ability to, like, walk outside or have a window. Mm-hmm. So having that veranda and that extra bit of space where if your kids are sleeping, you can go out and have coffee and have pastries or, you know, meet with your friends next door. You have kind of these like little dividers, and you can ask your attendant to take that down so then you actually have like a bigger veranda. But we really enjoyed kind of that quiet time in the morning. And I know we haven't mentioned this yet, and it's kind of a huge deal. Room service is, I think, I want to say 24. It's 24 hours a day. Included in your price. So again, you're not paying extra. If you want to order coffee and bagels or muffins or whatever it is in the morning and have them delivered at a certain point, you can do that, which
my
is
dad loved
fantastic.
That. Yeah.
And then you sit out on your veranda and look at the ocean while you're enjoying your coffee.
Absolutely. Yeah. 24-hour room service. Our kids would knock out every night. That's another great part about the Disney cruise. You are exhausted. So zero argument from the kids going to bed. Slept like a rock every night. No issues at all.
Comfortably, Comfortably.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
I think it was the best night's sleep I've ever had in my stateroom. It just feels so quiet, so secure, a little bit of rocking, nothing too extreme. It was just so amazing.
Was that night you slept that hard the night that you were chasing things on the snorkel trail without using
it? It was actually every night, but
oh, nice.
Yeah, that's it awesome. Was that's why I'm telling you, it was the happiest week of our lives. We were well rested, but we would order room service. This is so funny. We ordered room service every night when we got back just for fun. My wife and I to have in bed while our kids fell asleep. I fell asleep before it arrived every night, which was, you know, pretty funny. But
and I would just like to mention how smart Disney was when they created these rooms. There is ample storage. Your toilet room is separated from your shower room, yes. Right? I think that's probably one of the only cruise lines that does that, if not the only one. Meaning that
so smart.
Somebody can be showering and there's a sink in the shower, in the mm-hmm. shower room, but there's also a sink in the toilet room. So if somebody has to go to the bathroom, you don't have to go in that hot, tiny little bathroom while somebody's showering no. to go to the bathroom. You have your own separate stall, which is super nice.
Also, the beds disappear mm-hmm. and your room attendant takes care of it for you. So every morning when we would leave to go to the pool or whatever it is we're doing for the day, our room attendant would come in, put the beds up. We'd have tons of extra floor space. The room is opened up, come back, get ready for dinner, leave. And by the time dinner's over and we return for the evening, the beds are pulled down again.
I also wanted to say like how awesome Disney is at listening to what families are needing. Like when we went on our very first Disney cruise, there weren't a lot of options for a family of five. And so we had to do two inside staterooms in order to do it. And in that situation, me and the girls took a room and Sean and Laker took a room. And I had the funniest situation happen. So like we're talking, right? Multiple bathrooms in this situation. Sean was taking a shower and put Laker out. He's 3 years old. And was just finishing getting himself dried. Well, Laker wanted to come find mom. So 3-year-old Laker, naked Laker,
oh God.
went into the hallway to go find mom. Sean had no idea because in that 30 seconds, he had left to come find me. And there's always workers in the hallway. And so they came and knocked in our room and is like, is this little boy yours?
Like, there's Disney for you. You're not even going to be able to lose your little
one. You can't even lose your little one. Like, I know that that's a concern. Allie, I think that was a concern you had at one point, right? Is having little ones with a balcony. And what does that look like for families? And Disney addresses all of these things for making it work for every family situation.
Yeah, let's use that to transition into Bashful. So there's all those different room types that, and they are priced differently. You know, there's one that's going to work best for your family, regardless of budget or needs or desires, everything. A lot of people that I talk to do have that concern of my kids on a balcony. Mm-hmm. And I get it. Yes, you're right, Becky. At one point I had that. I'm not sure how I feel about this. This scares me a little, but truly it's not something to be scared of. And like I said, I'm going to use that as my bashful. People just not knowing or being nervous about that balcony access with kids, but it's Disney. They have it so secure. First of all, don't let them out there alone. But the lock is really high up and really hard to work. The balcony itself is not climbable. Like it's you can't climb it, you know, unless you pull furniture up to it and physically do it. So it is safe. I feel fine with it. Like I said, my kids are little. And I feel good about a balcony.
My bashful is actually about motion sickness because I remember my first time we were going on a cruise, that was my nervousness. Like, I just think I'm going to get motion sick. And for my first five cruises, I did the wristbands, I did the earpieces, I did the Dramamine, all the things. And now I don't even have to do those because now I realize that ship is big. Are you going to feel a little bit of movement if the waves are big? Yeah, but it's a massive ship. It's not like you're on a little boat. It's not like you're going to feel every single piece of movement in the water.
Yeah, I agree. With strategies that we talked about, like with Doc and what you just mentioned, you know, the seasick component, you know your body, but it wasn't a thing for us at all. What about sneezy, things you're going to avoid? For me, it's Nassau in general. We don't get off the ship at Nassau, but we have done Nassau before a couple of times. And it's just, to me, we're spending a lot of money to be on the Disney ships. And we take that opportunity. That's the day we go to the spa and get our massage. That is the day we really take advantage of the areas on the ship that are usually super crowded being less so. We like to experience the ship that day in a less crowded capacity. And we stay on board. We don't get off Nassau.
I could not agree more. And I actually kind of have a take on this, on cruising in general, and how I've kind of rationalized Disney Cruise Line versus another cruise line is I'm avoiding almost all ports. Like, it's not about the ports when you're going on a Disney cruise so much, because it's like going to Disneyland or Disney World compared to just another amusement park, right? They're not the same thing, where cruising on Disney is not the same as just going port to port to port. You're not port hopping. It's about being in the Disney bubble, but on a cruise ship.
I do love the other ports outside of Nassau, but I love the way you put that, like Disney World and just another amusement park. If you're worried about, you know, the cost of some of the excursions are really expensive. And I think it's really important to know that if that's a concern of yours, it really doesn't have to be.
Yeah, you do not have to get off the ship. You can. There are remarkable excursions to do at lots of these ports, but don't feel like you have to get off every single port.
I love that. What about Bibbidi Bobbidi Boutique? We talked about it for Pirate Night. My girls did do it because friends of ours gifted it to them, which was insanely generous, and they were so happy. Typically, though, I feel like we're swimming and we're in beach clothes and we're not really wearing princess gowns a bunch. And even if I'm just doing it for, you know, the royal gathering or just for one dinner, I still don't feel like I'm getting my bang for my buck like I would if I were doing it the morning of a Magic Kingdom day.
So we had an experience. Our very first Disney cruise was around the time Frozen came out. And our girls did get dolled up. We happened to bring the Anna and Elsa dress that hadn't even really been released anywhere. And so I have a redhead and a blonde. And so it was like perfection in my daughters getting to dress up like Anna and Elsa for something that wasn't even known. But it worked out perfectly that they did Bibbidi Bobbidi Boutique. Their dresses were Anna and Elsa, and we got to see it before it premiered on land, because Disney Cruise Lines will do that. They will premiere Disney movies before they come out on land often.
You're so right. I totally forgot about that. That's another one of those like little hidden treasures that you get in addition to all the daily activities, is they always have like two or three movies during your sailings that are either just recently come out. Like right now, they're probably playing The Little Mermaid on the ship.
I bet they are. Right? I bet they are.
That's so cool. I could almost guarantee that they are. It's amazing.
I want to go right now.
Let's close out our sevens here and close off with Dopey. Mistakes you don't want to make. We've mentioned them. Not planning for pirate night. Missing the deck parties, the pirate party and the sail away party.
Can I just tell you really quick about the sail away party? When you're taking off, when you're setting sail, the fact that the horns play Disney music, like when you wish upon a star, like,
amazing.
Oh my gosh. Yes.
It is not just another cruise ship. It is perfection.
It's perfect. I think, yeah, that just that horn alone gave me chills. Makes me want to get back on a ship immediately. Waiting to get off the ship at Castaway Cay, we talked about that. That's a silly mistake. And for any smart moms, travel agents listening today, our hidden Mickey is going to be Castaway.
I have one more that I wanted to add to that, Dopey. Do not take for granted that there is the adult side of Castaway Cay. Like, Sean and I checked the kids in to the kids club on Castaway Cay, and we went over to the adult side, and there are hammocks, and it is calm, and it is quiet, and there is drinks to be had, and oh my gosh, I have the funniest memory. Sean wanted me to record him, quote, falling out of a hammock, and so he sat himself in the hammock, and I turn on the camera, and I'm watching him, and it's bright as bright will be, because you're on an island with white sand, and I'm like, I push record, and he goes, and he falls on his face, and the people at the bar start dying laughing, and then I finish and turn it off, and then we will go back to the ship and we watch it. I recorded my face. I had the camera facing me, not facing him. But the time we spent on the adult side of the island is such valuable time to just get away.
That's a great, great, great one. And
not only that, but the adult side of the ship and all the adults only areas on the ship. There's adult pools, adult bars, obviously adult restaurants.
I was going to say that too, Carla. The adult pool area, we had the best afternoon there. And just not exploring the ship, like going to the hyperspace lounge on the Wish. Are you kidding me? Like an Oga's Cantina on sea. It's amazing. It's so amazing. Perfect. And we actually found this whole Incredibles inflatable thing that we didn't even know was on the ship. We found it our last day. We stumbled upon it. So not taking the time to really explore and familiarize yourself, there's always going to be new things to discover on the ship. So it's really amazing. Can't say enough good things. We're going to take one more quick break. When we come back, we'll hit the lightning lane.
Hey, wait. I know you're ready to get back to the podcast, but I've got something very simple for you to do. Join my Facebook group, Disney Planning Made Simple. I'm Stacy, one of your podcast hosts, and I have a sweet, friendly Facebook group made for those of us who thrive in the simple pleasures of life, things like family, food, and Disney. Join at facebook.com/groups/Disney Made Simple or follow with the link in the show notes. We'll be so happy to see you there.
Hey, y'all, it's LJ, and this is the fairest segment of them all. Today, I want to give you my few cents about cruises. I have been on 2 Disney cruises, and I've been on 1 Royal Caribbean cruise, and I feel like that's not enough. I feel like I want to correct this, and I actually already am. I'm booked for the Wish in August, and then I'm booked for the Wish again in November to take my agents. And then I'm also booked on a princess cruise around the UK in July. So I'm fixing this. I'm fixing the issue that I've only been on a few cruises. But I will tell you that my kids absolutely love Disney cruises. They want to go on Disney cruises more than they want to go to Disney World. They are like, when are we doing another cruise? When are we doing another cruise? They love the kids' clubs. My big kids, I feel like I hardly saw them. They wanted to be at the kids' clubs constantly. They want to be hanging out with their friends. I felt like it's a great place for them to get a sense of independence because I felt pretty safe letting, you know, like my 11 and 14-year-old, well, he was 13 then, 11 and 13-year-olds, like mostly having the run of the ship. I knew kind of where they were, and I had told them to stay together, and they were staying with their friends that are around the same age. I feel like that's a great opportunity for them to get that bit of independence and see what that feels like without it really being out there in the big real world. My little kids love the kids club as well. They didn't stay as long as I felt like they would have. I felt like they were wanting to come back more often than the big kids. I don't know if it's just like because we're like attached at the hip at home. So they were coming back to our room to see us more often than I expected. But they did frequently want to go back to the kids' club and play and stuff like that. So they really enjoyed it, kept asking for it. They also really love the shows. All my kids enjoy the shows. I do think my little kids enjoy the shows more than my big kids. They're Disney shows, so of course they're aimed a little younger. But I absolutely love the shows, and they were my favorite part. I loved the Frozen show and the Aladdin show. Those were the two that really stayed with me. And I felt like they were just absolutely like mind blowing. The things that they were doing, the puppets, oh, it was great. My favorite and very good. I won't say better than any show at Disney World because I do think the Animal Kingdom show, Lion King, has the beat with the monkeys, but probably right under the Lion King show. They're great quality. Food was really good, and I felt good in the space. Like, I felt like the room is fine. I do feel like, you know, we had adjoining rooms, and we had 4 on each side. 2 adults, me and Mike, on one side with 2 of our kids on there. And then 3 of our other kids were on the other side, and then our nanny was in that room as well. I felt like we had plenty of space. But it's basically like a hotel room. It's a little bit smaller, a little bit tighter, but the balcony was incredible. And I can't wait. This trip in August is actually going to be in the Funnel Suite. So we're going to have a lot more room. And you're going to want to make sure that you're following me around for that on Instagram and the stories. I'll show you it. There's only 1. It's in the Funnel. And it's normally about $40,000-$50,000 3-night cruise. But we just got some amazing discounts that made it happen. So I can't wait to just stay in that kind of luxury. So we'll see. But I feel like the question is, should I go on a Disney cruise or should I go on a Disney vacation? And my one question to that, to try to help you guys out, is why not both? Why not a land and sea? Why not do your Disney World vacation, have so much fun in the parks, see everything, and then it's just about an hour away to the port, and then jump on the Wish or any of Disney's cruise ships. I haven't been on the Wish yet, so I'm really excited about that. But I've been on the Fantasy and the Wonder, and I feel like it's a much more relaxing vacation, much more downtime, much more laying in the sun. So that's my feedback. I think you should do a land and sea vacation.
Hey there, friends. I'm Katie Boone, one of your podcast co-hosts. I'd love to invite you to join my Facebook Disney planning community called Planning Disney with Babies, Toddlers, and Preschoolers. In my group, I love discussing all the aspects of planning your magical vacation with little ones. Find my community at facebook.com/groups/plandisneywithlittleones. Again, that's facebook.com/groups/plandisneywithlittleones. When you join, don't forget to tell me you heard about my group on the podcast. See you there.
All right. We are back and ready for our fast answer lightning lane. Carla and Becky, are you ready?
I am ready.
Hi ho, let's go.
All right. Carla, would you rather have an ocean view room or a veranda?
A veranda.
Ooh, Becky, midship or front of ship?
Midship, central to everything.
Carla, high level or low level deck?
High level.
Becky, Pixar sailing or Marvel sailing?
Marvel for my family.
Carla, Halloween or Very Merry time?
I'm going to go Very Merry.
Ooh, good one. Becky, would you rather go to Castaway Key or Lighthouse Point?
Ooh, probably. Well, I need to go see Lighthouse Point, but I want to go on a sailing that has 2 Castaway Key days. Do you know they do those?
Yes.
I had one booked over New Year's this year, and I moved it. I moved it to a different one. Why did I do that?
I don't know. I told John we need to like renew our vows on Castaway Key. It's like a little slice of heaven.
Oh my gosh, I'll be there for sure. I will for sure be there. Okay, last one. Are you ready? Disney World or a Disney Cruise?
Why would Disney you Cruise. But only because I'm in Florida and I get to go to Disney World all the time. I'm so do you, Becky.
This is true, but I'm in a phase of life that I really feel like my vacations need to be relaxing. And so for that purpose only, I think I'm going to say Disney Cruise.
I can't live without both.
That's what I said. How can you do this to us?
I'm doing land and sea. I'm adding on days at Disney World and sailing out of Canaveral.
That's so smart. That's so smart.
That is going to do it for us on the Smart Mom Plan Disney podcast. If you're planning, looking at planning, or ready to start planning again, and you don't already have a Smart Moms travel agent, be sure to check out the link in our bio or show notes to get connected with a free Smart Moms travel agent and podcast host. Be sure to like, follow, and subscribe everywhere you get your podcasts and on all social media platforms at the Smart Moms Plan Disney podcast. Until next time, we'll see you real soon.